the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. All of today's readings, whether St. Paul's Pauline epistle or St. Peter's letter, or whether talking about Saints Peter and Paul in the book of Acts. And as you know, tomorrow is the great feast of the apostles, and tonight is its vespers, and Abuna's hoping that we all come because it's a very important service. Today's vespers tonight is 7:30, and we commemorate the martyrdom of two saints, Saints Peter, one of the 12, and Saint Paul, the amazing apostle, who spread Christianity at the early church. Today we read the Gospel of St. Luke. When the Lord sent the 70 apostles, And tomorrow's Gospel will be from Matthew 10, when the Lord sent the 12 disciples. And the church is giving us an important message. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with us on earth, was careful to select his disciples and apostles to carry his message to the whole world. So he began in Matthew 10, as we'll read tomorrow, to select the 12 that you know well, Peter, and the last being Matthias, who took the place of Judas after Judas fell. And he told the 12, only go to the villages and cities of Judea. Don't go outside. And then he came back in Luke 10. In Luke 10, he selected 70 others also. Most likely, St. Luke was with them, who recorded this in his Gospel. Because Matthew was one of the 12, so Matthew recorded in his Gospel, in Matthew chapter 10, sending the 12. Matthew the 10, chapter 10, was sending the 12 to the Jews, and the 70 in Luke's Gospel are sent to the whole world, to the Gentiles or to the nations. So whether Luke or Matthew's Gospel, he is sending his apostle and disciples to preach. One of the wonderful things that the church tells us in the Feast of the Apostles reminds us an important lesson the Lord Jesus gave to his pure disciples. On Thursday night, in the middle of the night, he was sitting with the disciples. On Thursday night, as you'd read in St. John's Gospel, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and crammed in 17, sitting with his disciples, and suddenly, he took off his outer garment and put on a belt, a towel, and he bent down and washed the feet. He bought a bucket of water, or a pail of water, and washed the feet of his disciples. And when Peter said, no, you can't wash my feet, he said, if I don't wash your feet, you can't follow me. So he said, then wash my whole body. He goes, no, enough washing your feet. And he gave them a wonderful lesson, a great lesson, the greatest lesson that you could benefit from as a servant. He said, you say that I am a master, and it is true, but I have washed your feet, therefore likewise wash each other's feet. That's why the church on Covenant Thursday, on Holy Week, prays the water prayer, the Lenten prayer, with water and the Buddha sits, the eldest priest, even if the Pope is present, he would go down, or the bishop, or the elder priest would sit down and wash the feet of the congregation, of the people, on Covenant Thursday. And on tomorrow, the Feast of the Apostles, we also do the Lectan service. And unfortunately, Lectan often is during the middle of the week, and many of you can't come because of school or work. But those who are able can take a day off and come. But anyways, the liturgy of the Lectan is just like Thursday, Covenant Thursday, will be done tomorrow, God willing, on the Feast of the Pure Apostles. Abuna will sit down and wash the feet of the people. Of course, we wash the feet of the men and we anoint the women. And that's not discrimination, but it's just practically because a husband and a wife are one. So if I wash the feet of the husband and anoint the wife, it's blessing the whole family. Or if she's not married, then she's part of her parents' family. So we are washing the feet of you all, either directly or indirectly. In the liturgy of Lectan, you'll read in prophecies about these tomorrow, about 12 rivers of water and 70 palm trees. The 12, of course, are a symbol of the 12 tribes of Israel and of the 12 disciples. And the 70 trees are symbols of the 70 elders of the Sanhedrin, of the Jewish council, were 70. And they, each one of them is supposed to be like David said in his first song, like a fruitful tree by the rivers of water. Fruitful tree by the rivers of water. So the 12 and the 70, 12 tribes, which is in the New Testament, the 12 disciples, and the 70 elders of the Sanhedrin. Also, there was a wonderful tradition that around this feast, the Jewish feast, sorry, of the Old Testament, they would offer 70 sacrifices. As if our Lord Jesus Christ took from his children 70 sacrifices, 70 offerings, and he offered them to the nations. Sent the 70 apostles to the nations so that he can transfer the faith from Jews to the Gentiles and the whole world. That's why he says, I have sent you as lambs among wolves. He's sending them to be what? Slaughtered. They're lambs among wolves, to offer their lives as an offering or an acceptable sacrifice. Do not carry knapsack, or we explained about the 12 and the 70. But the characteristics of an apostle, a faithful apostle, who wants to have a successful ministry, is what? Number one, do not carry money bag, knapsack, or sandals, nor greet anyone in the room. Don't carry anything with you. Why? Because I am the mystery of your richness. I am will fill your needs. I will take care of you. Don't worry. And don't about food or drink. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? No, don't worry about that. That's why the apostle or the priest or bishop, he eats from the blessings given to him from the congregation. They give him a small allowance or a small blessing from the people. He doesn't worry about getting a promotion or doing projects or getting this. No, no, no. He's here to serve the Lord and serve God's children. He can't also carry a knapsack or a money bag. It means he does not depend on anything in the world, only depend on the Lord only. And he's the one who reigns and who enriches. Is this just for the priests and deacons and missionaries? No, all of God's children actually. You're not supposed to carry a money bag or a knapsack and worries of the world. These are the materialistic needs. The one who wants to be successful in their spiritual life, in any service, doesn't have to be Sunday school service or giving sermons or anything. Every one of us is a servant in some capacity. Every one of us. The secret of the richness is our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't spend too much of a focus or time on the projects that take you away from your focus on being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about the money bag, the knapsack, whether you live with $100 or $1,000 or whatever. The Lord will take, He has blessings enough to take care of your needs. So the first lesson for a servant or for an apostle or for each of us is not to carry the money bag or knapsack or sandals and not to greet anyone along the road, meaning don't depend on even those others. Your way, I'm taking care of, my Lord says. Your food, the Lord says, I'll take care of it. Your storage, I'll take care of all your needs. That's the first lesson, is He takes care. Ask yourself, how much do you depend on the Lord in your life versus depending on the affairs of the world, the worries of the world, the projects of the world, the needs of the world? Or another way to say it, how much time do you spend under the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in His presence, even while you're working, even while you're doing your house chores? How much time do you spend with the Lord Jesus versus with the world? First lesson is carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Second point is greet no one in the road. What, we just walk and ignore people? No. I'm not saying be mean to people. Don't worry about social things, meaning the Sunday school service, visiting their children at home. Don't waste time about gossip and how are you and how is he? Did you see that? You're going not for social service. Don't greet anyone on the Lord. Don't spend your life. Don't waste your life on social and social media. And the priest, when he goes to visit someone, is not there to gossip or to ask. You are there to give the word of life, which leads them to continued life with Christ here and inheriting the life with Christ in the age to come. The first lesson is carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals. The second, don't greet anyone in the room. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Another lesson. Jesus, when he appeared to his children after the resurrection, the first thing he said, peace to you. Sunday night, after he arose from the dead, he said, peace to you. A week after, he appeared again to them on Thomas Sunday, he said, peace to you. The word peace was always on the lips of our Lord. But the peace that the Lord Jesus gives is not like good morning, good evening, good afternoon, how are you? No, that's not the peace of God. The peace of Christ, he says, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. When I say peace, meaning I'm filling your heart with peace. You have inner peace. Everlasting peace. Unshakable peace. He gives peace to the hearts of those who hear Him. And the servant of the Lord does the same, takes the peace of Jesus and gives it. He says, peace to this heart, filling the hearts of those present with peace. And leaves the visit having left peace to the whole household. And people are comforted. Why? From the wonderful presence of the servant of the Lord. Any house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Third lesson. Now, every one of us as a person needs to ask themselves, am I a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. One of the Buddhites. Am I a channel of peace to my friends? Do I bring peace to my wife or my children or my husband or my parents? Am I bringing peace? Am I a source of peace? When I go to a house, my wife and children around me happy to see me? I'm feeling reassured by my presence. That's your role as a father or a mother. Bring peace to your house. Unfortunately, the world has left the real peace because it doesn't have the love of God. That's why when he says, when you go, the first thing you say is peace to this house. And without peace, nothing else is beneficial without the peace. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Do your role. Your job is to say peace to this house. But you can't force it on them if there's not a son of peace there. If someone accepts your peace, they'll benefit. If not, they will lose. But you just say peace to this house. You cannot force the peace onto the house. That's why Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples, says, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. If he accepts peace, remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. In the old days, when they visit a house, they go long distances from village to village. So he's saying, remain in that same house, eating and drinking what they offer you. Because the laborer is worthy of his wages. This is not telling you, when I visit you as a priest now, you have to feed me all the time. No. The Gentiles used to eat food which is considered unclean to the Jews. So he's telling his apostles, when you go even to those houses, don't you dare say, no, this food is unclean, I can't eat. He's saying, remain in the house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Wonderful word. The laborer is worthy of his wages, but getting the wages from him. From him, from the Lord. There's a wonderful prayer every day the priest prays. He says, pray. It's in the Coptic Reader, if you look at the priest prayers. He says, please reward all who have fed us from or taken care of us or sheltered us in their homes. Reward them all. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Your children will eat from your hands, O Lord, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Don't go from house to house. Meaning what? Don't jump around from house to house. Enter a house. The peace is there. Have accepted the peace. Establish Christ within them. In their heart, fill with the love of Christ. Show them the beauty of eternal life with the Lord. Warn them of the importance of repentance, because they will receive forgiveness from our Lord Jesus Christ. And when they're perfected, they'll go. But don't jump around. Jumping from house to house. The scribes and Pharisees used to do this. They would jump from house to house. Why? They want to receive a gift here. Now jump there, receive a gift there, jump there. They're not serving Christ. They're serving their own bellies. They turned the service of the Lord into a corrupt service for their own materialistic benefits. So he said, no. Don't do like them who jump from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. But while you're doing this, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal their sick and talk to them about the kingdom of God, about Christianity. He started from, I send you out as lambs amongst wolves, and he continues to say, heal the sick. And the servant of God receives from God's hands and gives to God's children, just like Jesus did himself. In John 17, he says, I have sent them as you have sent me. He's talking to God the Father and saying, like you, God the Father sent me as a lamb slaughtered into the world, I have sent them as lambs among wolves. But despite all this, he says, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus loves us just like God the Father loves him. And we are all God's blessed children. The love of Jesus has been filled in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Eternal love. He has loved us and has granted us mercy. The message has a deep meaning. Very deep meaning. I take the love from Christ and I give it to his people. And I am sent by Christ, just like God the Father sent the Son. Here's the importance of being sent as ministers in the world. The word of God, which comes through the mouth of the preacher or the priest or the Sunday school teacher, is not their own words. And the deacon who's reading the readings is not his own readings. It's coming from the mouth of the apostle. The one who read the Pauline today, these are the words of St. Paul through the Holy Spirit, as if St. Paul is standing here saying these words. The one who read the Catholic epistle from St. Peter, as if St. Peter is among us. The one who reads the Acts, as if Luke the physician is reading it for us. It's important because our service is we're not making up our own service or our own message. You are just passing the message. You are not the author. It's not based on our clever words or how we have presentation skills or this. No, you're just there to deliver the message. The message of the Lord sent through his apostles. You could even be walking next to a person who's a saintly person. He doesn't say a word to you, you don't say a word to them, but you're learning so much from the presence of the saints. That's why he says, if they receive you, most welcome. If they reject you, then shake off even the dust off of your feet into their streets. We'll conclude and say that the disciples and apostles, after he told them about the characteristics of a successful ministry, they returned with joy and said, even the demons, but sorry, he said to them, he who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Meaning, the one who accepts you has accepted my words. The one who rejects the apostles of Christ is rejecting the apostles, Christ, and God the Father. And they return with joy saying, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said, yes, I saw Satan or the devils fall like lightning from heaven. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The authority given by the Lord to us can burn the evil spirits and cast them away. But he says, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. And how you can trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy is through living a holy life, through your prayers. Your prayers are what trample upon serpents and scorpions and the power of the enemy. And we no longer live our own life. Like St. Paul says, I was crucified with Christ, so I live no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Therefore, he tramples on the serpents and scorpions. And again, don't rejoice so much because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice so much in the even successful ministry as much as rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You get to go to heaven. You get to live forever in heaven with the Lord. The result of your life here with Christ, of your faithful service to the Lord here, for you keeping a pure life of repentance all the time, is that your name is written in heaven. You will no longer live on earth. You will live in heaven. You will live eternally in the mansions prepared for you by the Lord. May the Lord give you all blessing and grace and through the prayers of the pure apostles and disciples, Peter, John, and all the rest. Their prayers guard us. And please pray also for the peace in Egypt and throughout the world. There is great stress and distress in the land of Egypt and in our mother church, because the church is still living in the world, but God forbid and keep the world out of corrupting the church. We pray for the peace of our church and of Egypt and of the world. And we pray also for the example, and literally we pray for the Nile of Egypt, for as we remember our brothers and sisters living in Egypt, even though we're living here in Canada. May the Lord solve all problems and grant his peace to the land of Egypt and our land and everywhere in the world. سواء العالم لكي يدرس أو سواء لأهل العالم لكي يصلي من أجل ربنا. Glory be to God forever. Amen.